This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Hello, Face the Nation podcast listeners. We want to bring you something a little different today. A deep dive on the state of two consequential political contests in Pennsylvania. The governor's race between Republican Doug Mastriano and Democrat Josh Shapiro, as well as the Senate race between John Fetterman, a Democrat, and Dr. Mehmet Oz, a Republican. We talked with John Delano, the top political reporter at our Pittsburgh affiliate KDKA, about our latest battleground tracker polling from the state. This is our conversation, first broadcast on Twitter Spaces, and we hope you enjoy.
John, it's Margaret Brennan. Welcome to Twitter Spaces. It's the first one I've done. I take it it's the first one you've done as well.
Absolutely. And we had a little bit of technical difficulty, but I'm delighted to be with you. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks. Well, we're so lucky to have you for this chat today. And for everyone listening, this is our first Face the Nation Twitter space. And we want to have this conversation right now because we're 53 days away from the midterm elections. And we have this huge CBS family with folks in so many key places in key states. And John is one of them. So we're trying to harness his mind and his visibility into what's happening in Pennsylvania right now. We're very lucky to have a correspondent like you. And today we are, of course, talking about the key state of Pennsylvania. So John Delano, for those listening, is the money and politics editor out at our Pittsburgh station, KDKA. John, thank you so much.
Well, again, it's a great delight to be with you, Margaret, and to all our listeners from, I hope, both Pennsylvania and across the country. Once again, Pennsylvania is the bellwether state. It seems as if every election year people turn to Pennsylvania as the make or break state, and that brings a lot of national attention on this state of, 13 million people. A very diverse state, truly a microcosm of America with big urban cities like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, a ton of rural area. Agriculture, believe it or not, is one of the big economic drivers in our state. We often think of steel because of Western PA, but there's so much about Pennsylvania that makes it a good purple state and very, very, very unpredictable.
Indeed. And just this past week, we had some CBS polling data that our genius pollsters here at CBS, Anthony Salvanto and his group, crunched the numbers. And I am hoping that you can kind of put some life to some of these figures and some of the trends that we've pulled out of this. The battleground tracker that we just released has, you know, some insight here. And for those politicos listening in right now, you know, we have a 50-50 Senate. As you know, both parties are trying to gain the majority here. So Pennsylvania is looked at as one of those key states that could decide a lot. And in your Senate race, according to our battleground tracker of likely voters, Democrat John Fetterman is leading Republican Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, as he's known, and that lead is by about 5 points. So, you know, John, what does the poll that we just released tell you about the state of the of the race, and why is Fetterman leading?
Well, I think John Fetterman is leading because when you dig in to this awesome battleground tracker poll that Anthony Salvanto and his team put together, I mean, it's an amazing poll, the details, because they get into why it is each of these candidates has strengths or weaknesses. You know, for Mehmet Oz, he's an outsider to Pennsylvania, as at least that's how he's perceived. by so many people in Pennsylvania.
Because he was living in New Jersey.
Because he's in New Jersey. He's been a New Jersey resident for three decades. His connections to Pennsylvania are real. He graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, both his medical degree and a business degree. He married a Pennsylvania woman. Her family has been a very successful family in the suburbs of Philadelphia. So he's been back and forth a lot to the Philadelphia area, but he hasn't lived in the state until 2020. He's, as the Fetterman people will point out, he's registered to vote still in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania. That's perfectly legal. But you only get to vote in one place, and he's voted in Pennsylvania the last 2 years. But this notion that he's not really a Pennsylvanian comes back to hurt him. And if you want to dig into the poll numbers, mm-hmm. we can.
Yeah,
I think that's part of the problem. And a lot of it goes back to the fact that Mehmet Oz was assaulted on television by fellow Republicans during the primary. Never forget that he won by, much less than a tenth of 1%, I believe, in the end, barely winning in a recounted vote over Dave McCormick, a multi-millionaire who spent a ton of money savaging Oz on television for being basically being out of touch and being fake and being a Hollywood phony. I mean, all these things that now come back to haunt Mehmet Oz. If you'd like, I mean, I'll tell you what I think is it's amazing to me that Oz is only behind by 5 points.
Yeah.
Given all the negatives against him. But that's the nature, again, of Pennsylvania, where Republicans vote Republican, Democrats vote Democrat for the most part, and independents make up the difference. And there's nearly a million folks who will decide interesting. This
race. Yeah, it's always interesting to me when you ask a polling question if there is a difference between what the person asking the question thinks they're asking and what the person being asked perceives that question to be. So you've been talking about a real Pennsylvanian. We have in our polling the phrase authenticity gap between John Fetterman and Dr. Oz. So 57% of voters say they think Fetterman really believes what he is telling them. 71% say Dr. Oz is just telling people what they want to hear.
That's an amazing gap. 57% say Fetterman's authentic. Only 29% say Oz is authentic. And yet, despite that, he's getting, 47% of the vote. So people who think he's inauthentic are still voting for him. Or the question of, has Oz been in Pennsylvania long enough? 67%, two-thirds say no, he's not been here long enough to be a U.S. senator. And yet, he's still only 5 points behind. So,
but when you talk about a real Pennsylvanian, I mean, just on the visuals, for those at the national level who aren't following this and all the detail you are, they see a picture of John Fetterman in like a black hoodie, tattoos on his arms, really embracing the I'm an everyday guy, an everyman.
Yep.
Dr. Oz, they know from television. So like, what does being a real Pennsylvanian mean? What do you think it is that's actually resonating as authentic?
Well, I do think residency has made a difference.
Obviously.
I do think that there was a perception in the Republican primary. It was not just for Mehmet Oz. In fairness, it also applied to Dave McCormick, who had lived in Connecticut for 15, 20 years. Ambassador Carla Sands, who was from California, she was also in the Republican primary. They had roots in Pennsylvania, but they came back for the explicit purpose of running for this Senate seat. Mm-hmm. And that's why they came. It wasn't for any great love of Pennsylvania or the Pennsylvania people. They saw an opportunity because Senator Pat Toomey, Republican, was retiring. Mm-hmm. And so that perception has been out there for a long time that most of the Republican candidates just kind of moved in order to run. Now, some of the Republican candidates use that against the others, like Kathy Barnett, for one, who came in very, you know, came in a close third. But they weren't able, it didn't resonate enough within the Republican Party primary.
Yeah.
I think it's resonating more now, Margaret, and I think that's part of what's going on. What is a true Pennsylvanian? I don't know. I've lived in the state since I was 8 years old. Am I a real Pennsylvanian? I wasn't born in here, but I grew up here, went to school here.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, John Fetterman had that stroke back in May, and there has been a lot of questions about where is he in his recovery? How long standing will the ongoing health issues be? 59% of voters polled by CBS say he is healthy enough to serve. How much is the health of the candidates on the ballot here? You know, what are you hearing locally?
Well, I'm hearing that the Oz people want to make this the issue. I mean, they are doing everything they can to suggest that John Fetterman is just not well enough to be United States Senator. And they point to debate. Mm-hmm. Now, Fetterman has now accepted one debate for October 25th in Harrisburg, the state capitol. So there will be one debate, but it's late in the season for sure. And the Oz people have accepted five debates, and they keep challenging Fetterman to debate more. I don't know that the public as a whole cares that much about these debates. If you judge it by how many watch it on television, it's really people like you and me, Margaret, who are watching. A lot of folks don't. But I think the question of his health is an important one. But he is out on the trail, although not as much. He's still in recovery. When I had my one-on-one interview with him, and I was the first reporter to get one-on-one with Fetterman, and I've known him for a long time. Let me be frank. He's not the greatest speaker in the world, even before the stroke. And so when you talk to him afterwards, it is sometimes difficult. It was difficult for me to perceive how much different he was. But he was very upfront with me about his auditory problems and the fact that he needs closed captioning in order to see the words. There's been in he and his people say there's no diminution, a reduction in brain function. It's one of those physical attributes. And heck, we all know people who have hearing problems and auditory problems and the like. So I think the public will decide whether they think that's a disqualifier. Most people I talk to at this stage don't, even though he hems and haws and pauses when he speaks and is repetitive, to some extent he was like that before the stroke. So it's hard for me to gauge, and I'm obviously not a doctor, and I cannot diagnose. Right. So we only go by what he says.
Just to clarify what you were talking about explain the closed captioning. So as what I have read is that during this debate, Fetterman will have access to monitors with closed captioning that he needs that he needs to read what he's being asked. Is that the situation?
That's right. That's the way he is sure not to miss a word in his hearing. So anything that the questioners or Dr. Oz would say in debate would appear on a screen. When I interviewed him, he had that same capability to read and see to see the words that I was asking. And in this debate on October 25th, they're going to have two practice rounds, I've been told, which will give him an opportunity to get comfortable with the equipment and make sure that he's seen, because they're going to be together in one location for this debate. We'll see whether he insists he's improving every day, that he's getting better. But as our CBS poll shows, as you pointed out, 59% say he's healthy enough to be senator. And yeah. Boy, if he were to win with 59% of a vote, that's almost impossible in Pennsylvania. That would be a clear landslide. I just don't think yet it's a real big issue for a lot of voters.
I also want to ask you about the person not on the ballot, but who has been a factor in so many races, the former president. And who he would endorse became the subject of a lot of fascination at the national level. How much is that on the ballot in this Senate race, or how much of a factor is it in your gubernatorial race? You know, is that really a motivator for people to come out in November to see any of these candidates as a proxy for their endorsement of the former president?
Yeah, I don't think that either Joe Biden or Donald Trump are big, huge factors in this election. I think that Pennsylvanians, particularly with respect to the governor's race, are not going to focus on Washington, D.C. particularly. In the Senate race, it's perhaps more of an issue, but it's very clear that Donald Trump endorsed Mehmet Oz from the very beginning. He was his candidate. He likes celebrities running for office, and the former president obviously endorsed Mehmet Oz and campaigned for him very recently up in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. But I don't think that people are voting for or against on the basis of where, you know, who Donald Trump supports or frankly who Joe Biden supports. I know there are efforts to try to turn these gentlemen into surrogates for these national figures. And I just don't think it works. I think both John Fetterman and Mehmet Oz are so well known in Pennsylvania, people will make their own judgments based on who they are. Now, the governor's race is fascinating, Margaret, because, you know, here you have a candidate, Josh Shapiro, the attorney general of Pennsylvania. He's been very visible as attorney general. He's done a lot of things in the consumer protection area, and he's very well recognized. He did something that was an astounding fact or a feat, I would say, in the Democratic race. He was unopposed for the Democratic primary for governor. I don't know that I've ever seen a situation like that for a non-incumbent wide open seat for governor in Pennsylvania. But he's managed to, everybody seems to like him in the Democratic Party, whether you're left wing or a moderate conservative Democrat. So he kind of has united his party. The Republicans, of course, were much more split. And as the CBS poll indicates, Doug Mastriano, a newcomer state senator, an election denier who led busloads of folks to the January 6th insurrection or attack on the Capitol. Although there's no evidence, he got to the steps of the Capitol, but we've seen no evidence that show him walking up the steps. Right. We have seen video of him right at the steps. He went beyond police lines. But again, you know, Mastriano has run one of the most extraordinarily unusual campaigns. He will not talk to any reporters from mainstream media, television, print, radio. He has kicked reporters out of some events, and he basically communicates through social media. He's not running any advertising on television across the state of Pennsylvania, at least not yet that we've seen. And so you know what the CBS poll shows in that race, a double-digit lead for Josh Shapiro right now. Yeah. Nobody believes that anybody will win by double digits in Pennsylvania, but clearly you'd rather be in Shapiro's position than Mastriano's.
So in terms of what is motivating people, our battleground tracker showing the issues that matter most to Pennsylvania voters were in order: gas prices, crime, drug addiction, housing costs, gun violence, and school conditions. What do those issues actually mean in Pennsylvania? You know, when people are thinking about crime, are they thinking about the city of Philadelphia, or are they thinking about something else? You know, what is it that's resonating locally?
Yeah, I think they think about crime in their own neighborhoods, their own situation. And certainly a lot of people who are voting for Shapiro would check crime off as one of their issues of importance. It's interesting because the campaign, the Shapiro campaign, believes that abortion is really a key motivator. Mm-hmm. And they've been running ads focused on Mastriano, who basically says, my body, my choice is a ridiculous statement. He basically supports banning all abortions, even to save the life of a woman.
And so, to be clear, abortion is legal in the state of Pennsylvania. So,
yes, thank you. Abortion is legal. It's controlled, but it is legal up to 24 weeks. There are some requirements about a short wait time. There's some consent issues. The pro-choice community would love to see some of that change, but it's mm-hmm. never going to change as long as Republicans control the state House and state Senate, which they do. And the only thing that keeps Pennsylvania from going Texas has been a Democratic governor. So that's why the governor's race, and why Josh Shapiro believes abortion is such a key issue, because he believes it attracts Republicans and independents to his camp, along with almost all Democrats. So even though our polls suggest another issue, issues like crime are more important, they're focused on abortion at the moment.
It sounds like you are saying that there is a tendency you see to have more of a kind of libertarian tendency, or people reacting to that rather than just voting along party lines on this issue. Is that the right way to interpret what you said?
I think that's fair. I think it's a question of how people ultimately vote, whether they care so much about the abortion rights issue and that they vote on it, that's the one issue. I think there are lots of reasons. Right now, as you know, our CBS poll shows that Republicans wish they had a whole slew of them wish they had someone else running as their candidate, not Doug Mastriano. And that reflects the fact that Mastriano won his Republican primary with less than 50% of the vote. In Pennsylvania, there is no runoff. So the plurality winner becomes the nominee. Most Republicans voted against Mastriano. They voted for somebody else. And I think there's some residue of that. Not unlike the primary with Oz, that Republicans voted against Mehmet Oz in their primary. And so that puts the candidate, the winner, in a tough position of uniting his or her party before going into a general election. And it's not clear whether that's been done. Well, I would argue for Oz, I think he's really closing the gap there among Republicans, but that's not going to be enough to win. He's got to win independents in order to beat John Fetterman.
So do you think it is the wrong bet by the Democratic candidate Josh Shapiro to think of abortion as a motivating factor for turnout? Really even on the ballot? Because as you're saying, it's far more complicated.
Yeah, it's not on the ballot, but I think most people who care about that issue recognize that if a Republican wins the governorship, that will be the end of abortion rights in Pennsylvania. And so that's a pretty easy statement to understand. And particularly because Doug Mastriano has made it clear that he would support legislation banning all abortions, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, he wants to beat Texas. I think didn't he have a statement not long ago that he wants Pennsylvania to be the Florida of the North, DeSantis, Governor Ron DeSantis, So who knows where all of this goes, but my view is that abortion becomes a motivating issue for a certain number of people. And in Pennsylvania, where elections are won by 1-3%,
right?
Every percent counts, Margaret, every percent.
And you've covered Doug Mastriano for a while because he was a state senator.
Yes.
So I wonder what your sense of him is in terms of Does he truly believe some of the things that he has said on the campaign trail of late, including being, as you use that phrase, an election denier, meaning he does not believe that Joe Biden is the duly elected president of the United States? Does he truly believe that, or was that the cost of winning Donald Trump's endorsement?
No, I think he truly believes it. And I think that I have incredible respect for the way he's handled social media. I mean, he came out of nowhere to become the Republican nominee in a gigantic state like Pennsylvania. And he did it through social media, not through advertising.
When you say social media, what do you mean? They're not listening to our Twitter chat.
Primarily right Facebook and podcast postings that he and his wife have been doing for years. And they've gone on their little fireside chats he has, mm-hmm. where he, for years, but long before he was a candidate for governor, where he would talk about particular, very conservative issues. And of course, that's become a wealth of opportunity for the opposing mm-hmm. candidate. But the fact is that Doug Mastriano was very out front on his issues. I believe he's a true believer. I don't think he's a fake. If you ask me if he's authentic, he's authentic. He didn't do anything to yeah. get Donald Trump's support. In fact, Trump was rather late in coming in and endorsing Mastriano. He did yes. it at the last minute when he saw that Mastriano was going to win. There was a lot of his people supported Trump people supported Dave McCormick and supported Kathy Barnett. So there was a lot of pressure on the former president to endorse one of the others. But in the end, he endorsed, you know, I don't want to mix up the governor and the Senate race because McCormick were in the Senate race. And again, pressure was put by
right.
them. In the Republican primary, there was pressure by some of the other candidates who were running. Carla Sands, for example, was his ambassador. I think that the endorsement of Mastriano was Trump just jumping on a candidate who was going to win, not anything else. I certainly don't think Mastriano was doing the things he did because he was trying to win Donald Trump's support.
Let me ask you about some bread and butter issues. So 80% of registered voters told CBS economic conditions in Pennsylvania have either been difficult or hard on them. We know that inflation is a problem around the country right now. But in Pennsylvania, 71% of those polled complained specifically about gas prices and housing prices. 67% specifically complained about that. What is causing the most pain locally? What is dragging down the perception of the economy?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that inflation hurts everybody. It's very rare for someone to get a pay raise that would equal the inflation rate in this country or in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, it's true gasoline prices have come down, but Pennsylvania has the second highest gas tax in the nation. The governor wanted to suspend the tax. The legislature did not go along with that. The bottom line is that we're still paying a very high gasoline tax, and consequently, our gas prices are nowhere near as low as the national average. So that is one of the reasons people feel mm-hmm. that pain at the gas pump. And of course, when you shop, you recognize how inflation has hit and other kinds of things that you want to buy. So I think they're very real issues. You know, I think the hard part is trying to connect that to an election. Does a governor right. have any control over inflation? You could argue that the governor might have something to do with gasoline prices. They could.
Certainly with the gas tax, he would, right? I mean, not that he's the chief executive of the state.
What's that?
The governor would, if you're talking about local state laws, like you mentioned, like the gas tax, is chief executive of the state.
Yes, but he can't do anything without the legislature in Pennsylvania, as we've seen on gasoline pricing. So, but I'm talking about the basic price of gasoline and oil. The governor of Pennsylvania mm-hmm. will have zero to say about that. He can affect the taxes, yes, but he cannot affect the price of oil that comes out of other states or from around the nation.
So what's the heart of the argument that you see resonating on the economy? Because certainly Republicans would like to argue that any Democratic candidate, is linked to inflation. What is the, affirmative argument that Doug Mastriano is making on the economy? What is he going to do? And how do you actually make that judgment?
Well, I have not seen an affirmative argument on what he would do other than cut government spending. He's very big on that he would cut government across the board in a lot of areas. It's a line that he's used frequently and has embraced from the get-go. But other than trying to tie Josh Shapiro in with Tom Wolf, which is what the incumbent governor of Pennsylvania, which is what he's trying very hard to do. And of course, there are ads run by there have been ads trying to link Josh Shapiro, frankly, with Joe Biden. But I think people become very blasé about this stuff. I don't think they're going to connect, unless you're an ardent Republican or an ardent Democrat. You don't connect people to other politicians. I really don't think that's what's going to motivate folks. In terms of Mastriano, frankly, one of the hard parts, Margaret, is that none of us have gotten a chance to interview him. So I can't ask him the question that you just asked me.
Right.
I'd like to do that. I'd love to interview him. I'd love to have the chance to ask him, what do you think you can do about the economy, Senator?
Well, perhaps we'll learn a bit about that in that debate. That's the Senate debate. Is there any kind of governor's debate?
No. There was an effort. A number of us, including our station in Pittsburgh, have invited Senator Mastriano and Attorney General Shapiro to debate. But Senator Mastriano put out a statement saying that he will not debate on any mainstream media forum. So, he will appear on certain right-wing talk shows and favorable talk entities. But so far, there's no debate scheduled.
Okay. Well, John Delano, we'll keep watching, see if you can get those questions answered. As we just laid out, Pennsylvania is such a key state. That's John Delano of KDKA. Thank you for taking the time to chat.
Well, thank you, Margaret. It was great to be with you, and I hope everybody enjoyed the exchange.
Well, thanks for being my first ever Twitter Spaces chat.
I hope we did just fine. I certainly enjoyed it. It was fun to be with you, and feel free to get back in touch with me anytime during the rest of this campaign. Love to talk to you.
Twitter has been known to make or break candidates and a lot else. So thanks for taking the risk with me. So we're going to have a new battleground tracker coming in the weeks ahead on Face the Nation on Sundays. And they'll also be distributed across CBS News platforms. Coming up on September 25th, we're going to look at the battle for control of the House. So we hope to bring you more of these chats for the story behind the numbers. Until next time, thank you all for listening.
Thank you all.
If you like Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. Okay. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene,
there were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.